pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
It's March 29, Picks edition of the MLB Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. It's brought to you by Kutt. Kutt is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's US-based and available in 40 states. Head to kutt.com. That's K-U-T-T.com. Use promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. We're brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100x in NBA, MLB, NHL, college basketball, and more. Sign up today. Use the promo code MLBSGPN to get a 100% deposit match. And we're brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com. Use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month and start making smarter bets today. Welcome, everybody, to the MLB Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. My name is Malcolm Bamford, coming to you from Newcastle upon Tyne in the northeast of England. Today is opening day. Happy opening day if you're joining us live. If you're listening tomorrow, happy opening day for yesterday. It's Thursday, the 28th of March, and we are here to live sweat some stuff. I mean, scutter neck deep and all sorts of things. And we will have a look around 8, 9, 10 games, maybe. They're going to take place on Friday. Joining me for the first time this regular season is Mr. Scott Reichel. Hey, Scott, how are you?
No, it's the second time because we did the South Korea series.
First time since the game started. It's a first pick show, Scott. Don't be pedantic. Yes.
Just saying, technically, second show we've done together for the regular season. But looking forward to it. A lot of games going on right now. A couple of really impressive offensive showings already, and even some good overall pitching performances. I know Burns had 11 strikeouts, for example, so far with the Orioles in his debut. Yep, he looked great. So either way, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how the games unfold.
I did have to have a little laugh at myself before because I keep the few shows I've done, I've been telling everybody how prepared I am for this season and how I feel like the body of knowledge in my baseball fandom, 8 years now, I'm ready for it. And the very first pick on opening day, I took the Angels first five. Why would I do it, Scott, to myself? Even if I wanted to, I should have just left that in a little compartment of my brain and not said it out loud for other people. And then they go 1-0 up. Mike Trout hits a dinger. I think, here we go. 7 minutes later, it's game over. Anthony Rendon's booting the ball all over the infield. So I made a little bit of a fight back since then. My lock looks like it's cashed already. The Dodgers on the run line. Miles Mikolas, really? Really, were we doing that? That's 5-0. The Cole Reagans has struck everybody out so far. Everyone in North America has been struck out between him and Corbin Burns. And Royce Lewis has limped off injured as well. I mean, he just cannot stay fit at all. The great hope for the Minnesota Twins twists his ankle going around second base, and he's limped out of the game in the third inning for Minnesota. David Dilly in the chat, how you doing? Matthew is jumping that it's opening day as well. What game are you watching then, Scott? What's your setup today? How much stuff you got going on?
Well, the Yankees I'm not going to watch because that team is not in exactly great form to start a season. And Houston does typically well against the Yankees historically, so I'm not shocked they're down 4-0 already. Watching the Reds game. I know that they're currently blowing out the Nationals, but I have a stolen base prop, so that's kind of what I'm watching.
7-0 already. Yeah, my DraftKings lineup, I have stacked Dodgers and Reds. And sitting in 500th place out of 39,000, Scott. I might be rich if Scoobal and Lizardo can pick up a few more Ks. But yeah, it looks like I'm going to have a little cash there. I had a long day today to put together a DFS line. Normally, a DFS lineup is very much just instinct because I'm only playing for $5, $10, $15. But I had all day today. I said yesterday on the show that I'd pulled the ultimate degen move and put in my van into the garage for its annual service. So I couldn't physically leave the house all weekend if I wanted to because I've got no means of transport, which was a lovely move on my behalf. It was really well thought out. Did cost me £480, so it might not have been in hindsight. You know, you give with one hand, you take away with the other hand. But it did mean I had all day to craft a curate. That's a nice word. I curated a nice DFS lineup, which is going on okay so far. So tomorrow, there was no days ball, which I was furious about. Because it's Good Friday, so we've got all day to watch. But with the Brewers-Mets game being rained out, I will get an early game. And then we've got the Braves-Phillies, which was rained out. So there's two games staggered late afternoon tomorrow, which is nice for me, before we get into what was the intended slate of 8 games that start at 6:50 tomorrow night. So plenty of stuff to get our teeth into. So let's talk about first, we've been having a little look around the rest of the network this week, featuring different shows, that 20 or more podcasts on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. I know Scott appears on plenty of them. I've got the Premier League show, but the flagship show, the Sports Gambling Podcast, we're highlighting this week in honour of March Madness. They pick every game against the spread. Have done since 2012. You've got the College Basketball Experience, Colby, a.k.a. Pick Dundee, Ryan Moneyline Mac, and Noah Beanick, ex of this parish. So subscribe to all of those shows if you can. Loads of stuff going on. Sports Gambling Podcast and the College Basketball Experience, wherever you get your podcasts. Okay, so we'll get stuck into this. Obviously, I had a little handicap with this game yesterday. This early game, the Milwaukee Brewers at the New York Mets, a game Dylan was supposed to be going to. So two consecutive opening days Dylan's had tickets for and has been washed out. So I don't know if Dylan can make it tomorrow. I'll have to speak to him, see if he gets there. This is going off at 1:40 p.m. Eastern time now. It's not a doubleheader because they weren't scheduled to play, so it's just been rescheduled. Freddie Peralta, left-handed pitcher, goes for the Brewers. Right-handed pitcher Peralta. Jose Quintana, the lefty, takes the ball for the New York Mets. And it is a match on the books. The -110 each of two, which tells you how tight this looks, with a total sitting at 7.5. TVDBJ, regularly first in the chat here, went to great lengths last season to tell us about road Freddie Peralta versus home Freddie Peralta. And he's absolutely right. The numbers do stand out. 4.34 road ERA was pretty much an entire run worse than what Peralta did at home. Jose Quintana did okay, 3.57 ERA. And I did think he was very good at home. The total looked a little bit low to me. My only concern is the weather. Scott, you might be able to help me out a little bit. Sort of boots on the ground, you're kind of in that part of the country, because the Brewers are going to be an over team. I think they're going to be an over team this season. They've got no pitching, and they're going to play a lot of small ball. I'm looking forward to seeing what Jackson Churio does. He was 6-1 to steal a bag. You look at a similar player today, CJ Abrahams, was round about +130 to steal a bag. Maybe +230, I think, actually. But Churio's up at 6-1, which is a huge price. Very, very similar profiles. And I think the Brewers are just going to run like hell this year because they're going to have to manufacture some runs. So I do lean towards the over. I couldn't split the two teams either, the same as the bookmakers. I just think the 7.5 looked a little bit low just because it is Road Peralta, and I think the Brewers can cobble some runs together. But I want to see. I just need you to tell me, Scott, that the weather's not going to be drastic, and then I'll happily take the over 7.5.
Well, the thing is, the weather is going to be drastic. I'm just not sure what direction the wind's going to blow in, because there's going to be a bunch of wind on Friday. I'm not sure which direction. Should be around 14-mile-per-hour winds. So keep an eye out for which direction. I don't have that in front of me, but you might end up seeing maybe either a dead under game or an extreme over game, depending on which direction the wind's going in. At first glance, I'm going to lean to the under in this game because I'm just not sold on both teams offensively, especially Milwaukee. I just don't think Milwaukee's offense is full of a lot of proven commodities. You mentioned a couple of young players. They made a youth movement there. I am going to lean under in this game, but I do think if I had to go for value on the side, I would lean to the Mets. They were pretty decent at Citi Field last year, all things being considered. Milwaukee, you mentioned with Peralta being a lot worse on the road than he is at home. I think there might be a bit of value on the Mets. I'm not saying that either team's going to be good this season, but Milwaukee just was extremely cheap. The Mets decided to try. I'm not even sure what exactly the Mets are doing at this point besides trying to stall a bit, but they still have some talent on the roster. I'm going to lean to the Mets. Quintana was pretty good last year, simply put, and you mentioned Peralta's road issues. I'll lean to the Mets.
Yeah, got no argument. Like, it's gone to my head. That was the side I would take, and probably lean away from that total, Scott, if the weather is going to be, as you say it will. I will find a bet because it's the only game on and it's a great time for me to watch. So I might join you with a team ride on the New York Mets. The second game, the rain out from today, is a 3:05 Eastern first pitch between the Atlanta Braves and the Philadelphia Phillies. Spencer Strider and Zach Wheeler. So two studs going here for the Braves and the Phils. The Braves -125, Phils +105, total again 7.5. We're seeing these April, March and April totals, weather affected. Scott, great looking game. Probably the best pitching matchup of what was supposed to be opening day.
Yeah, I mean, the issue you run into for Strider is that Philly's kind of had his number in some big moments, most particularly in the playoffs, or more specifically in the playoffs for the last couple of years. But both teams offensively have a lot of talent. I do like the pitchers in the spot, though, so I actually think I am going to lean to a first five under in this game. Strider's my pick to win the Cy Young, so I'm not going to suddenly fade him in the spot. Then again, Schwarber was my home run leader pick, so we'll see what happens. But I'm going to lean to the first five under. I feel like a lot of people are going to be liking the over in general or player prop parlays because of all the firepower. But both pitchers are really good, just simply put. So I'm going to lean to the first five under. I'm going to try to use the offenses to my advantage by kind of fading them in a way in what I think might be a total that's a bit too high based on the quality of starting pitchers in this game. I'm going to go with the first five under. Both teams bullpen-wise can leave a little bit to be desired at times. So I'm going to ignore them. Give me the starters instead. Give me the first five under.
Yeah, this is a really tricky game to handicap, and so it should be. I've actually heard, over the winter, everyone was kind of just talking about how Atlanta were double-figure games better than everyone else in that division. Just the last 10 days or so, I'm hearing more people thinking that the Phillies are going to close this gap and run them a little bit closer, that we might actually get a race in this division. So I'm not sure what it is that's turned the tide for Philadelphia, but they are catching quite a lot of steam in certain circles. I kept this really simple because I think I'm getting the slightly better team and the slightly better pitcher at -125. And that was enough for me. I didn't really feel the urge to look elsewhere. Like you say, Philly do get to Atlanta in the playoffs, but this isn't the playoffs. And Spencer Strider, out on a limb, is probably the best pitcher in baseball at the moment. So I'm happily taking him. It's close on the books, but Atlanta at -125. Not a strong feeling, but that'll be my play in that game tomorrow. We'll move on to the evening slate of games. Once I've told you about Cut, Peer-to-peer social betting platform, US-based and available in 40 states. Peer-to-peer social betting is a new and a really good, exciting way to bet. We've had it in this country for ages. Love getting involved on these exchanges. You can bet against your friends or anybody else you want on any subject you want. Create your own bets. Myself and Moonaf, we're going to go head-to-head on the Tigers win total. Cut handles all the payment side. You've got low VIG social features. So download Cut today in the App Store or over at kutt.com, K-U-T-T. Use the promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. And Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Just pick your favourite players between 2 and 5 and whether they're going to go higher or lower on any stat total that you fancy. You can win up to 100x your money. The thing to do here is to sign up today with the promo code MLB SGPN and get your first deposit doubled up to $100 as well as an instant pick'em special. Visit underdogfantasy.com, find them in the App Store, and don't forget to register with our promo code MLB SGPN to get your first deposit doubled up to $100. Must be 18 or over. Present in the state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Consider your play. Call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org. So, we make a start on this card that is officially the day two card. Bit of a weird setup this, because the lines are just starting to come through in dribs and drabs. We're seeing money lines and run lines for every game, I think, as well as starting pitches. Totals, probably weather-related, I think. There's 1, 2, 3 totals off the board. And it's almost kind of an extension of yesterday's show in terms of the teams you like and the lineups and stuff like that. We have got a new voice on the show because Scott wasn't here yesterday. So really, for me, I'm handicapping pitching matchups because my opinion of what I'm going to see hasn't effectively changed from yesterday's show. But the first game we're going to get to tomorrow, what time is this? It is 20... That's UK time. That's no good to you people. 22:50 to me is 6:50 Eastern time between the Toronto Blue Jays and the Tampa Bay Rays. Chris Bassitt going for Toronto and Aaron Civale going for Tampa Bay. +111 for the Blue Jays, -132 for the Rays, and this is one of the totals that's off the board at the moment. Not entirely sure why that would be in Tampa. Maybe, I don't know, if, Scott might have a total on one of his books. The two teams playing each other currently, top of the sixth. Blue Jays have just nipped in front, 2-1. Zach Eflin's still on the mound for Tampa Bay, so pitchers on top so far today between the Blue Jays and the Rays. And I quite like both these pitchers here. Scott, Chris Bassitt, veteran, but he's absolutely rock solid. Like, he's kind of bomb-proof, Chris Bassitt. 16-8 last year with a 3.60 ERA. His first game was a shocker. I don't think you can make a case that he needs a little bit of time to ease his way into the season. I think that was just one of those things that happens. Because after that, the rest of his April, he was absolutely mustard. So I've got no problem with that, really. I'm not going to factor that in. I like Aaron Civale, obviously, coming across from Cleveland. Very similar game. I made my notes earlier on before this opening day game, which, like I say, is 2-1 through 6. And it looks like a very, very similar game to me. And I think the lines are too far apart. I've got this really as a pick'em. We've just gone through the Brewers and the Mets, where both teams are -110. So just on the prices, because the Blue Jays are a better price, I'm happy to pick them. I think I would pick whichever team was a better price. The Rays at -132 just don't appeal. And I think that was kind of my handicap last night as well. And I just don't see why you would get away from it. I mean, would you have the Rays as a -132 shot, Scott?
Well, the main argument in favor of Tampa would be the fact that they're always very good at the trap. So you assume that they're going to look sharp no matter what because they win a lot of home games. But to go through the logic that I kind of implying for this game, I agree with you. I think that this should be close to a pick'em. I think that even though Tampa is good at home, historically speaking, this team talent-wise, you could argue, leaves some to be desired, at least compared to Toronto. Bassett is sturdy. I think that Savali can make the argument it's kind of the same way. You could argue Bassett maybe is even better than Savali. It's a discussion. But I'm going to lean to the under in general because I just think Tampa's going to be involved in a bunch of low-scoring games this season. And I do think that Toronto is, once again, hyped up offensively. Are they overhyped? Maybe a little bit, but still. I'm going to lean to the under. I think I am going to agree with you, though. If I can get plus money and what I think is going to be a coin flip, I'm going to take it. But for me, this game screams 4-2, something like that. I'll lean to Toronto and I'll lean to the under.
4-2. The Blue Jays have just gone 3-1 up in that. So it looks like they're heading for a similar outcome. Tarik Skubal sitting on 6Ks. I know everybody. Moonaf gave that out as the over 6.5 is his player prop last night. I actually faded it. So he's sitting on 6 through 5 innings, but I assume he'll come back out. Vladdy just went yard for the Blue Jays. That is the third one that they tagged on. So yeah, I do like doing the show, and it probably annoys the hell out of everyone unless you're watching it live, because people watching it tomorrow are fully aware of the stuff I'm telling them from the past. But I don't care. I'm going to watch and commentate to myself all night. You can bite me. Next up is a 7:10. Eastern first pitch between the Pittsburgh Pirates and the Miami Marlins. Left-handed pitcher for both sides here. Martin Perez for Pittsburgh. And AJ Puck draws the start for Miami. We took Miami last night, having instinctively wanted to be on Pittsburgh because Miami just seemed to have crumbled. The season seems to have unraveled in the 10 days before the start. And instinctively, I wanted to take Pittsburgh. We then looked into it and actually came down on the side of Miami. And that kind of happened a little bit for me again here with this game. Scott, what did you think?
So you said Puck's going to be getting the start. He's more of an opener. So he has not been converted to being a starter, right? He's just being an opener for this game?
No, I think he's going genuine starter. I might be wrong, but I think the stretch...
They're trying to convert him?
He's getting this... He's bumped up to second, obviously, because Garrett, Yuri Perez, and Edward Cabrera are all out. But I think he was scheduled to be the number 5 starter anyway.
I feel like that's why I'm having a bit of trouble trusting Miami here, because Puck really has no experience starting. That's kind of my point. You're going through his numbers last year. He was a 2 innings maximum guy. Now they're trying to deal with whatever the current state of the rotation is. I'm not a big Martin Perez guy, but when you're looking at AJ Puck getting a start in the second game of the season, I probably would consider looking at Pittsburgh because at least they have a starter. Maybe the over, if you do think that both pitchers might struggle in this game. That's kind of where I'm leaning. I just have a hard time taking a reliever-converted starter in his first start in this spot. I just think the price feels a bit off to me. I'm going to lean to Pittsburgh.
Oh, you see, I disagree, Scott. I really like AJ Puck. I think
he's fine as a reliever, but you're trying to turn him into like an actual distance guy. Good luck to you. I'm going to wait and see it.
You see, I play a lot of fantasy, and AJ Puck has been a sleeper for as long as I could remember, actually. Everyone, all the fantasy people, he must have some underlying metric somewhere. And every year it's AJ Puck's the breakout. AJ Puck's it. And he's never got there for generally injury reasons. He was on Oakland, I think, wasn't he? He was going to be one of Oakland's.
He was. For the record, I did check it. He has never started a game even as an opener.
58 games he appeared in last year, Scott. Didn't start any of them. But like I say, he was highly thought of. Now, he's been pressed into action as the second starter, like I say, because of Braxton Garrett, Yuri Perez, Edward Cabrera all going down. But I think it can go well. And also, I'm not a huge fan of Martin Perez. He's been average. His record was good, 10-4 on Texas, but his ERA was 4.45. This is his debut for the Pirates, which also always makes me a little bit anxious. I'm not hugely keen. I'm going to take Miami. I did the same last night. I looked at the numbers and I was that sent me towards the fish. Currently lead 4-2. So hopefully I can get one over the line there. But yeah, I'll get on the other opposite side of this one, Scott, and I'll take Miami on the money line, -115. 8:10 Eastern time is your New York Yankees with left-handed pitcher Carlos Rodon taking the ball. And they will take on the Houston Astros with Christian Javier. Rodon and the Yanks, +120. Javier and the Astros are -130 with a total of 9. Not a very auspicious start this evening for New York. Although they've got the bases loaded, Scott, with no outs. So by the time
they with one out last inning, and then immediately Verdugo hit into a double play. So we'll see what happens.
The time you give us your handicap, the Yankees season might be back on, Scott. What have you got for this one?
You said Rodon's pitching in a major league game against Houston, and it's -130. Yeah, give me Javier. Are you serious? 130. Rodon was terrible all of spring. That's an insane price. Houston, I just don't know how Houston would be -150 on opening day, and then Rodon's pitching and they're -130. That's a hell of a deal. Give me Houston.
Completely and utterly agree with you. This was one of my 30-second handicaps when I looked at it. Sometimes you don't have to go any further. You get the first thing you look at, Yeah, okay. Do not need to go further down this rabbit hole. Rodon is hoping to get back to form. The Yankees are hoping Rodon gets back to form. But on the road last year, he finished with a 7.39 ERA, Scott. He has done okay Houston in his career. I'll give you that. I got that far. His Houston numbers aren't too bad. But Javier was fine. 5-2 at home, 3.71 ERA. Struck out 71 in 13 games. So he's pitching well. And we did say last night that Houston are good against the left-handed pitchers as well, which is kind of been proven tonight. They got off to a good start, scored some runs early on. The Yankees have got one across, Scott. Still bases loaded, nobody out. But yeah,
that's what Juan Soto does. That's why you bring in Soto.
Exactly. Houston -130 was a standout play for me, Scott. Entirely agree with you. We will move on to two MLB tabs up. One with today's scores, one with tomorrow's games. And I keep clicking on the wrong one first every time. 9:40 Eastern time. It's the Colorado Rockies at the Arizona Diamondbacks. Cal Quantrill on debut for Colorado. And we have Merrill Kelly going for Arizona. See if I can pick some lines up on this. Wasn't quite priced up. Here we go. +185 for the Colorado Rockies. The Diamondbacks round about -220 with a total set at 8.5. Again, this is a very similar handicap to last night. That game, Rockies D-backs, hasn't started. So, really, I haven't got much different to say on either team other than Quantrill looks like a Rockies pitcher. He's got an ERA right in the middle of 5-something, which that's one of the qualifications that you need for the Rockies to hire you if your ERA. 5.24 Quantrill. So, actually, on the lower side for a Rockies pitcher. And that's what he is. He threw the odd good game. We had high hopes for him at various points, but never quite manifested itself. And Merrill Kelly, a little bit similar to Zach Gallen, who's going to go tonight for Arizona. Merrill Kelly, he's just he's a workhorse, isn't he? 12-8, 3.29 ERA. It's 2.59 home ERA last year. It's the standout piece of information, I think, here when you're trying to handicap this game. So there's loads of stuff I like for Kelly. I like Kelly outs or Ks. He K'd over 9/9 at home last season. And he went over 6 innings per game. So you can take the outs, you can take the Ks. I think you can take the under because I can't see Colorado contributing many. But the obvious play is Arizona on the run line, Scott, as boring as it sounds. That's -105.
Yeah, that's what I had. Just simply put, we know Arizona made the World Series last year. The Rockies are still one of the worst teams in the league. It's tough to match Oakland for ineptitude, but the Rockies are trying. This team's really bad. So I do think Arizona, at the end of the day, is the much better team, more talent, better bullpen. I'm not sure what the Rockies do better than the Diamondbacks, but it's not much. So I'll take Arizona on -1.5 in this game as well. It's a bit cheap based on the talent differential between these teams.
Tell you what, Scott, playing Nick Martini in my DraftKings lineup.
That's pretty good.
It might pay for my van MOT today. I might get me £480 back for fixing the van because he's hit 2 home runs, including 5 ribbies. So I'm up to 130th now, about 6,000 in that. One more, Nick, and you're paying for the van. Come on, son. A couple more games here to get to. I'll tell you first about Hall of Fame Bets, helping us win bigger by betting smarter this NBA season. With Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props and game lines. Research NBA and soccer bets with historical stats and data. Put your parlays into Hall of Fame Bets Parlay Optimizer. They will break them down, hit rates by leg, expected probabilities, sort them by value. Stop betting in the dark. Join over 30,000 users researching with Hall of Fame Bets to craft more intelligent, data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com. Use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month. Start researching, start winning with Hall of Fame Bets.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Next game on the card is 9:40. Eastern first pitch, Cleveland Guardians and Oakland Athletics. Officially TBD for Cleveland. I've got Logan Allen drawing the start. You can correct me if I'm wrong, Scott. And Ross Stripling will go for Oakland. -125 Cleveland, +115 Oakland. This total might be off the board as well. Yes, this total's off the board. But yeah, Cleveland at Oakland, Scott, not the most inspiring at first glance.
I'm just waiting for you to make a case for Oakland first five. Sorry.
I was dying to yesterday, but I couldn't. I let everyone down. There was a cast of thousands waiting for me to do it. And I took Cleveland on the run line, Scott.
Okay. I went off brand. I'm a bit surprised by that. So that might be overdue. I am going to lean to Cleveland in this one. Both pitchers have been kind of up and down, if you want to put it that way. Logan Allen had a pretty good run last year, at least for bits and pieces. Stripling, I am not a big fan of, just simply put. Whether he was with the Giants, for example, whether he was even with the Dodgers before that, I was never really a fan of Stripling. So I'm going to lean to Cleveland in this one. Oakland, I think we agree, is probably going to end up losing 100-plus games. Maybe 110. They're awful, as far as I'm concerned. Cleveland, once again, they're going to force a lot of low-scoring games because they can't score, but they can pitch. Logan Allen was fine last year for the most part. I'm going to lead to Cleveland. Price seems a bit cheap for what I think is the better baseball team by a decent margin. I will go with the Guardians here to get the job done.
Yeah, this price is an absolute killer because it's just big enough. Like, if you ever, whenever you get the chance to fade Oakland and take the Oppo at -125, you kind of instantly want to do it. Such a dangerous price. It's really tempting. But I'm exactly the same with you. Logan Allen's numbers are okay. And Ross Stripling, he's another one. He's kind of, people have been high on him. People have been out on him. He's been a starter. He's been a reliever. He's been a swing man.
He's good for 1 year, as far as I can remember. He's mostly been bad.
And when you get players like that who are good for 1 year, that's when everyone think, oh, but he was good in 2019. Say, oh, it's 2024 now. But people think, yeah, we can get something out of him. We can squeeze the last bit of baseball juice out of Ross Stripling. He had 11 starts last year for the Giants, several multi-inning relief appearances. But I just can't think of a reason not to take Cleveland at this price. Like I say, it feels like a trap. Noah would tell you this is the Courtney Love game. But yeah, I'll take Cleveland at -125.
To the Courtney Love game?
Yeah, I think it's. Do you, are you aware of this?
I know what Courtney Love is. I don't know what the game is.
It might be a college. It might be a college experience term. There's always one game which is, it's very stinky, but you just have to dive in, which is
okay. All right.
It's a little bit crass, Scott, for two dignified gentlemen like myself. But you kind of understand the
she was popular before my time, but I know who that is and the reputation that is associated with her. So okay, fair enough.
She was about 10 years after my time, but yeah, I'm still aware of it. 9:40 Eastern first pitch. Boston Red Sox take on the Seattle Mariners. Nick Pivetta goes for Boston, and it is my guy, George Kirby, going for Seattle. +141 for the Red Sox, -167 for Seattle. And I believe this total is off the board. I don't know, is there some weather over there on the West Coast or what? Not entirely sure. I actually changed my handicap of this partway through because I saw the name Kirby and I've backed him for various, I think it's Cy Young, and I think I've bet him for the most wins. So I'm quite high on Kirby. So I instantly wanted to put some Seattle stuff in my betting book. But I don't mind Nick Pivetta, Scott. 10-9, 4.04 last year. But he was much better on the road. He had a 3.56 ERA, and he had a 1.01 whip. So he kept the runners off the base paths. Seattle this year, I think, have projected to have the lowest total runs in games of all teams. It's about 8-point-something. Because the pitching staff's going to be really good. But they're actually not projected to score a ton of runs either. So I want Kirby. No total is the only thing that I can't give you on this bet. Because I like the first 500. It looks like a pitching due. Because I think Pivetta will go well. And I've already taken George Kirby to go well in places. So I'll be looking at an under. But obviously it depends on what that number is. I don't know if you've seen a total. Or if you know if the weather's playing silly buggers with this one as well.
Yeah, I feel like part of the reason why Seattle might be projected to have a bad offense is also because I believe their stadium is the most pitcher-friendly stadium in the league. At least that's what it was last year, as far as I remember. You automatically assume the Giants stadium is going to be, but I'm pretty sure Seattle's, according to metrics, had the most pitcher-friendly environment last year, I think. So that might be a reason why. I'm a big fan of Kirby. I think he's really good. I know that he can be a little bit streaky at times. Most pitchers can be, but he definitely is, I'd say, ripe to blossom moving forward. I think he's really good. You mentioned Pivetta being decent last year. I'm pretty well documented not a Pivetta guy. I don't think he's very good. I know that he was decent last year, but for me, I'm going to look at Seattle in this one. The Red Sox are projected to be a pretty poor team this season. Offensively, maybe they'll be okay. They got some pieces. We know Devers is there. Casas can be pretty good. But still, I'm going to lean to Seattle. I think Kirby's just a much better option. So give me Seattle potentially on the run line in this game at a decent plus money price.
Here come the Yankees, Scott. They've scored 3 runs. They are back in it. The Yankees are all the way back. The penultimate game tomorrow is the 9:40 Eastern first pitch between the San Francisco Giants and the San Diego Padres. left-handed pitcher, Kyle Harrison. It is Kyle, isn't it? Yes. Kyle Harrison for the Giants. And Joe Musgrove gets a start for San Diego. The lines are, I've seen a total here of 7.5. +125 on the Giants. Padre is round about -150. Like I say, that total is 7.5. Kyle Harrison, Scott, do you know much about him? What are we expecting?
Well, last year he didn't pitch much, but he was okay when he did. He had a 4.15 ERA in 32 2/3. Decent amount of strikeouts, though. He averaged roughly a strikeout per inning. So he's not going to give you much length per se. I'm not sure if he's going to get to 6, but he might end up giving you between 4 and 5 innings, and they're going to try to piece it together after. So not exactly a guy who's going to give you much length, but enough. He was decent when he got called up last year.
Yeah, he was. I think he's the top left-handed prospect in the game, or was. And yeah, he got into 7 games last year, touched 97 miles an hour. Logan Webb's been looking after him and done bits and bobs with him. So interesting to see how he goes. Joe Musgrove is a little bit of a worry. He's sitting with a 16.88 ERA after a little bit of silliness last week in Korea, where he went 2 2/3, gave up 7 hits. And actually, I watched him in spring a few times, and he didn't blow my skirt up even a little bit. He got hit quite hard in spring training. So there's nothing really to recommend Musgrove here. So that, coupled with the rookie, and the only thing that's put me off, and it shouldn't, I absolutely know it shouldn't, is that the Giants and the Padres are sitting tonight at 2-1 in the 6th inning, because I like the over. Like I say, I made a case last night for this Padres lineup. I made a case last week, Scott, when we talked about this Padres lineup, how I like the bottom half and the situational hitting, etc. And they did well. They performed not quite so much yet, but the total's just a little bit on the low side, Scott. Over 7.5, I'll take you.
Yeah, I mentioned in that preview of the South Korea game that Musgrove was really bad in spring training. So that's why I didn't want anything to do with him in that game. So at the end of the day, I do think that Musgrove is a bit overvalued at this point in time. Also want to give a quick shout out to my guy, Camposano, who once again has no strikeouts now. So congrats to him. Hopefully he keeps it rolling. But either way, point is, I do think for this one, I'm going to lean to the Giants on the money line. I'm not saying the Giants are a good team. I'm not sure San Diego's a good team. So we're going to see what happens there. But Musgrove laying 150 with how he's pitched in spring training and in that first start against the Dodgers, that's just a bit wild to me. I think that this is going to be a close game throughout. You can argue that even if this game is close, you're kind of rooting for extras because the Padres couldn't win an extra innings game last year. Or they went like 1-10. So they were just really bad in close games, just simply put. So yeah, I'm going to lean to the Giants here. I think this price is a bit off. Give me the Giants on the money line.
Mate, you make a good case there, absolutely. That pick last week, the Camposano pick, was one of my favourite picks. I think I've done about 600 shows on this network. But that pick, it was just genius.
It's six at bats.
The Premier League. Hey?
He had 6 at bats and he still didn't strike out. So
that's kind of what made it so good. Me and Barry on the Premier League show, occasionally has a Barry's a, we say he's like an airport drugs dog, and that he'll sniff around places where he shouldn't be sniffing around, and we'll find something. And that's what that pick was. We call it the arse sniffer of the week, which for the second time tonight is quite crass. I think that was the first ever MLB arse sniffer of the week last week, Scott, because you got your nose in some places you had no business. And what an outstanding pick that was. I really enjoyed that. I even touted it a little bit, and Moonaf tore me off the misery. But there you go. Last game on the card is your divisional favourites, the St. Louis Cardinals, take on the LA Dodgers. Having sent Miles Mikolas out tonight, let's see what stellar piece of this rotation, I assume, is going to be another rock-solid starting pitcher going to the mound for St. Louis.
I'm just so happy, by the way, that we're on the exact same page with the Cardinals, because I know you were doing a lot of off-season videos. I was doing maybe a couple here or there, but then we just got on air talking about some futures. And you just, first thing you say for this division, I think the Cardinals suck. I'm like, I agree with you. We're on the same page here. It feels good to have somebody else with me who does not know why there's any hype involving this team at all. So
you're looking down the starting pitcher thinking, I know Sonny Gray got injured. Fair enough. I don't mind Sonny Gray. Even the games haven't started tonight. Steele, Eovaldi, Bieber, Bello, Castillo, Gallant. And then you look at Miles Mikolas, the Lizard Man, and Zach Thompson tomorrow. Now, I don't want to be too harsh on Zach Thompson because I don't know too much about him.
He was on Miami, up and down, random, like, late rotation guy, you know?
But if you get day two pitcher on a divisional favourite, that's absolutely right. You're right, but if he came in at number five... All right, yeah, let's have a look. Let's see what he's doing at the back end of the rotation. But following Miles Mikolas in blows my mind. 5-7 last year, 4.48 ERA. The Cards are plus 181 for this game. I didn't give any lines out. And the LA Dodgers have Bobby Miller, a minus 217. Bobby Miller, another one of my guys, as well as George Kirby. I've got Miller Cy Young tickets. So... a team that I'm really, really... I'm not in on the Dodgers because you can't be in on the Dodgers. The Dodgers are the Dodgers. But I'm in on Bobby Miller and I'm way out on St. Louis. I picked a Dodgers run line tonight as my lock for opening day. Not as... Well, they're 6-1 up. So, yeah, as straightforward as...
You're in good shape. Let's put it that way.
Sorry?
You're in good shape. Let's put it that way.
I'm in good shape, yeah. I'll be an unlucky loser from there. And I don't know why this isn't going to happen tomorrow, Scott. It's going to be a similar price, I would have thought. I don't care what price it is. Get involved anyway. Go up the ladder. We did see it last night. Get up the ladder. We borrowed one of CJ's ladders to get up there. Moonaf took the Dodgers team total. And again, cash by the second inning. Great pick by Moonaf. It's just exactly the same game tomorrow, Scott, I think.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I mean, I said that Zach Thompson reminds me of like a late rotation guy for like the Marlins. It's just a spot where he's way above his skis here, where he's the number two starter right now in a rotation. And on most teams, he's probably like a 4 or 5. I think we'd agree on that at this point. So Bobby Miller's young. He's talented. Trying to think of how to find value on this matchup, though, because the Dodgers' price is, of course, going to be large in almost every game. Bobby Miller win? You want the win there? Record a win? Yeah. Maybe plus money? I feel like there might be a way to look at it.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I say, all the team total for the Dodgers and a little ladder there in. Well, we've got to the end of all those games, Scott. That was nicely done. Myself and Moonaf did give out a lock and a dog and a player prop last night. Now, player props are a little bit tricky because there's where you could give out something you like without any lines. But do you have a lock and a dog? I'm struggling a little bit for an underdog. I've got one, but it's not very fancy, Scott. What have you got?
So for my lock, I know we both agreed on it, but I am going to take it from you. I am going to go with Houston. I can't back Rodon. I can't do it. As a Yankees fan, I've seen this for a season already. I saw the spring training numbers, minus 130, sure. That's just a very good deal. Javier has been pretty good against the Yankees recently as well. So there is a bit of, I'd say, trust, in my opinion, of Javier against this team. But it's mostly fading Rodon. If you want to go for a team total, you want to go for something. They got to Cortez early in this game on Thursday. Rodon's been a mess. Give me Houston money line. At about minus 130 as my lock. For my dog, I am going to go with the Giants to get the job done. We talked about it before, but Musgrove being minus 150, I just cannot get behind. This game, I think, should be close, and you're looking at the Padres, who were really bad in close games last year. The bullpen's been iffy. They can't win an extra innings game to save their lives. I think the Giants are pretty live to win this game. And Harrison, we talked about. He's fine. Solid prospect who got called up last year. Didn't exactly wow you. Decent strikeout stuff, but still. I think that the Giants are alive to win this game, and it's around plus 130, give or take. I like the price on that. I'll fade Musgrove until he shows me anything. I'll go with Harrison to get the job done. Give me the Giants money one as my dog.
That's a really nice bit. Win or lose, Scott, sometimes the results aren't important. It's the craft It's the art, Scott. And you were
most dogs in baseball, honestly, you can look for what you think is going to be a coin toss. And if you're going to get plus money on a coin toss, I'll take it. Based on Musgrove right now and based on Harrison and what he can be potentially, is that not a coin toss? Minus 150 is wild.
Well, this is my dog. My dog, it's not a huge one, but it's the same principle. I think it's a coin toss game. I think it's a match. And it's going to be the Blue Jays at the Rays, plus 111, Bassett v. Savali. There's nothing in it. And for me, I'm not good enough to split them. But the books have come down on the side of the Rays, and I just don't get it. Similar tonight, the Blue Jays lead that game 6-2. So I'll take that again tomorrow. Plus 111, the Toronto Blue Jays. So just a little puppy, as Dylan would say. And mate, there's no need to change my lock. If it's not broken, don't fix it. The Dodgers will just spank the Cardinals again tomorrow on the run line, which is round about minus 115, I think. And get up the ladder again if you want. Team total or win. Run line, alt run line are the words I'm looking for. So yeah, I'll just go back to back with the Dodgers if they're going to let me. So well, yeah, absolutely, why not? Scott, anything else you want to tell the people before we go and watch another 6 hours baseball?
Yes, the Yankees are all the way back now. It's a tie game, so the World Series is back on. Now, we're going to see what happens in the last couple innings, but should be fun. Looking forward to watching baseball. Of course, we're just getting started. We're going to be here the entire season. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, mate, I really enjoyed these two shows. We're both a little bit different because yesterday we were armed with all the information. And it was, you were like a kid in a sweet shop. There was too much to choose from. Today has been a little bit different, but we've picked our way through it. And like I say, I think we've sniffed out some beauties. Thanks, everyone, who joined us in the chat. If you do listen after the event and you've never joined us before, come and say hello. Stick your hand in the air and come and tell us what you like as well, because we know that people who listen to this show are far shrewder than us most of the time. So come and tell us what to get involved with. Thank you, Scott. I'm not sure what's happening over the weekend. It's obviously Easter weekend, so people are out doing family stuff. But I think the show is going to be back on Sunday night, perhaps with Dylan and Lonte, which means the entire rotation on the MLB Gambling Podcast will have been seen by Sunday night. And then we'll be going every night next week. So plenty of picks. Thank you, Matthew. For enjoying the show, Randy as well. And David at the top, TVDBJ, I'll expect a note from your mother when you listen back to this. Enjoy baseball all weekend, everybody. Good luck with your picks. Back on Sunday with the boys, and we will see you down the road. Cheers.